This is Jason Bell from the NFL Show, and you are listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay, guys. Another good weekend of NFL. I'm enjoying it so much. I mean, there was a little bit of worry. Obviously, my Pittsburgh Steelers game cancelled, well, rearranged with the Tennessee Titans due to a COVID outbreak within the Titans. So a little bit of a worrying time for the NFL, maybe whether this happens again amongst other teams, other franchises. But hopefully that won't be the case. These things will happen. It probably won't be the last of it. But, you know, at least NFL's here. And week four has been just as good as the rest of the week. Some crazy plays this weekend. Loads of fun. And we'll just have to now sit tight for till week five. But while you're waiting, why don't you listen to the Franchise Tag Podcast for the old fan, the new fan, and the UK fan. Follow us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram with the Franchise Tag Podcast. And on Twitter with the handle Franchise Tag UK. You can email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com or simply DM us on our social media if you want to get in contact with us. You can also find this podcast on iTunes Podcast, where you can leave a rating and a review, and on Spotify. But if you don't have these platforms, you can find all our episodes on our website, as well as our back catalogue at www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. A great weekend of NFL. Thoroughly enjoyable. We still have some undefeated teams still yet to be defeated. Are the Seattle Seahawks, the Green Bay Packers, the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Tennessee Titans not playing this weekend, so both retaining their undefeated streak. However, one team did lose again. They are an 0-4 start, which meant the end for their head coach, Bill O'Brien, and that is obviously the Houston Texans. So we're going to look at what's next for the Houston Texans. We're going to look at that first. We're then going to talk about the strongest divisions in the NFL at the moment and which one is the strongest division in all of the NFL, including in the AFC and the NFC. We have Andrew returning again for the fantasy football section of the podcast. And obviously, always, as always, we close out with my favourite part of the podcast, and that is what do you reckon Fred. That's going to be coming up very, very soon. But firstly, we're going to start off with what is next for the Houston Texans. They've fired their head coach Bill O'Brien after their loss 31-23, their loss against the Vikings. That's the Vikings' first win in the NFL this year. Romeo Crennel, the assistant coach, is going to be taking over as the interim head coach for the time being. Bill O'Brien, at 50 years old now, has been head coach since the 2014 season. That's six seasons. This has been his seventh season, obviously not a complete seventh season. He's 52-48 in his 100 games with the Houston Texans. They've had four playoff appearances, but have never got past the divisional game. They have topped the division, though, four times. Before O'Brien was head coach, he was the head coach at Penn State, the college football team. He was also a numerous coordinator, assistant roles, position coach roles, mostly at the New England Patriots. But it's all come to an end now. It's all come to an end. I mean, not surprising, to be honest with you. And maybe a little unfair, but not surprising. They've had losses now to the Chiefs. The first four games have been brutal. They had the Chiefs, they lost 34-20. They played the Baltimore Ravens, lost 33-16. They just beat lost to the Steelers 28-21. Looked pretty all right in that game at times. And again, losing to the Vikings 31-23 this weekend. A turbulent time for Bill O'Brien. I mean, he had a bit of a legacy there, admittedly. I mean, they've drafted some incredible players under his head coach role there. Jadeveon Clowney, Bernardic McKinney, Will Fuller, Deshaun Watson, Zach Cunningham, Justin Reed. Bill O'Brien was then also appointed the GM in January 2020 after the position was vacant for the whole of the 2019 season. But he had influence in there. He did have influence within that role. And I mean, he's gone now, and yes, it is definitely because of the 0-4 start, but I think we could have pinpointed this in March when he decided to trade DeAndre Hopkins. possibly the best wide receiver in the NFL, or top three in some people's opinion. I think we could have pinpointed at that point that was when this was all going to go downhill. And I think maybe you could have even done it earlier. He's done some strange decisions as a GM. This has been Bill O'Brien's criticism the whole time. Is people think he's rubbish. He's not a good coach. I've always argued he's a good coach. He's taken him to the division four times. He's had playoff appearances four times. But as a GM, he is not capable. I think he's a perfectly okay head coach. I think he's had some good players. I think they've drafted some incredible players. Obviously, he's had influence in that, but has probably not been pulling the trigger. But he's just been a very poor GM. But now the head coach thing's caught up, and being 0-4, this team who is meant to top this division, obviously the Tennessee Titans coming into fruition last year, being a better team, we're always going to challenge for that top spot. Phil Rivers arriving at the Indianapolis Colts, that everyone thought the Colts will also be challenging for the top of this division, the AFC South. But the Texans have not been fighting. They've had hard four games, though. This is where I defend Bill O'Brien a little bit, is they have had a tough first four games. But we're going to look at that in a bit. But let's pinpoint where this ultimately probably started. The wheels started turning about whether this was a good idea. To keep him as a GM, maybe to keep him as head coach, but maybe not as the GM. He was heavily criticised for the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Rightly so, in my mind as well. DeAndre Hopkins at that point, 7 years, 632 receptions, 8,602 yards, 54 touchdowns. And easily top three or the best wide receiver in the NFL for most of his career. They decided to trade him in a fourth round pick this last draft to the Arizona Cardinals. In return, they got David Johnson, a second round pick in this draft just gone, and a fourth pick in 2021. A trade that was hugely lopsided. Hugely lopsided. The Cardinals won that. But we can pinpoint this all back to March. Bill O'Brien was heavily criticised, and rightly so, for trading DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, in 7 years, 632 receptions, 8,602 yards and 54 touchdowns whilst at the Texans for Hopkins, carving him out as possibly the best wide receiver in the NFL at the moment, maybe. But definitely been in the top three, top five for many years now. And he traded DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick in the draft in the 2020 draft for David Johnson, a second round pick in the 2020 draft, and a fourth round pick in the 2021 draft. A hugely lopsided trade. The Arizona Cardinals won that trade. They got to cart off David Johnson, who's been slowly going downhill for a while now. In fact, not even slowly, rapidly has just fell off the face of the earth and is not very good anymore, considering he looked like a really great prospect. And meaningless draft picks, fourth round meaningless draft picks. David Johnson's contract's also quite big. That's been now inherited by the Texans. Obviously, Cardinals will be paying some of it, but the Texans are going to be paying a large bit as well for not a very good runner. And it's not the first bowls trade that's happened under Bill O'Brien. I mean, 2019, they didn't have a GM, quote-unquote, but he was heavily influential in them trades. Jadeveon Clowney, he got traded to Seattle Seahawks for Barcavius Mingo, Jacob Martin, and a third-round pick in 2020. A premium edge rusher they drafted with a number one pick. Also, the Laramie Tunsil trade. He traded for Laramie Tunsil and for Kenny Stills. And for a fourth round pick in 2021, a fourth round pick in 2020 and a sixth round pick in 2021. And shipped out two first round picks, one in this year and one in 2021. A second round pick in 2021. Johnson, Bademosi, and Julian Davenport, which was heavily criticised at the time as well. Now, you could argue Laramie Tunsil has been incredible for them on the offensive line. He's been very, very good. And they needed offensive line help, and he's one of the top guys in his position. Kenny Stills, decent wide receiver. They didn't lose anything player-wise, but two first-round picks? Wow, that's a lot. That's expensive. That is really expensive. And when you look at, you know, the David Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins trade, David Johnson in his Arizona career, 5 years, 781 rushes for 3,128 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 208 receptions for 2,219 yards and 15 touchdowns. Now, they sound like really great stats, but he's done nothing for the last 2 years. Them stats are heavily influenced by his successful years in the first 3 years. Johnson this year, four games in, is 51 rushes for 197 yards and two touchdowns, nine receptions for 100 yards. He's 27th in the league in rushing yards, and he's the lower echelon of running backs with TDs. Lots of people have TDs at the minute. He's 20th in rushing attempts as well, so it's not like they're even using him that much. And he's not exactly carving out loads of yards for the Texans. Now you look at Hopkins at the Cardinals, 397 yards off 39 receptions and a touchdown. He's fourth in yards in the whole of the NFL. And he's, you know, joint with crazy amount of people in touchdowns. And he's been making amazing plays in Arizona. Him and Kyler Murray seem to be really clicking. And Hopkins clicked with Deshaun Watson as well. So even now, the trade is lopsided. Hopkins is performing incredibly well in Arizona, being very influential on their team, working well with Kyler Murray, freeing up Kyler Murray as well to make some impressive runs like he can do. He's a very mobile quarterback and he's able to get around the field. David Johnson, he's a bog standard runner who's running behind a poor offensive line outside of Laramie Tunsil. And it's showing. This is not good for the Houston Texans. And it's going to get worse. They've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're at the Tennessee Titans, and they host the Green Bay Packers before the week 8 bye week. That could be three losses. This could be 0-7 by bye week. I think more than likely 1-6, because I think they'll beat the Jags. But now with the change of coach, maybe Jacksonville do beat them. Jacksonville haven't looked that bad. Not as bad as everyone's been saying anyway. So this, it was always going to happen. I don't think this comes as any shock. My problem is you're asking a lot of Bill O'Brien and this Houston Texans team to beat the Chiefs, beat the Ravens, beat the Steelers and beat the Vikings. Well, I think they could have beat the Vikings, to be honest. This team was meant to be going on an uphill trajectory. You know, they've been winning the division. They've been getting to the playoffs. They've been getting through into past the wild card round. Into the divisional round. They nearly beat the Chiefs last year. You're meant to be going forward. But this team feels like it's going dramatically backwards. And 0-4 at the bottom of the AFC South. I mean, at the start of the year, would we have truly thought that? We knew it'd be a rough start for them. Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, Vikings. That's a rough start for any team. But at this point now, how they're performing and how other teams are performing, they'll finish bottom of this division. The Jags will finish above them. And it's just the failure to win the big games there and to progress to the next step. Last year, they went 10-6. That's respectable 10-6. There was a bit of a fight for that top spot with Tennessee towards the end. But they played six playoff teams last year and they were 3-3. 3-3 is not bad against six of the playoff teams of last year. And they just squeezed the overtime win against the Bills. They did dominate early against the Chiefs and they should have probably won the game, but they lost because the Chiefs were just so dominant last year. They need to improve and they've not done enough to improve. You're meant to be taking the next step. All these teams need to take the next step. Once you hit that greatness, it's them maintaining it. The Chiefs, the Ravens, well, the Ravens haven't hit greatness yet, but the Chiefs certainly, it's them maintaining that greatness. That's what the New England Patriots were so good at. They hit greatness and they maintained greatness for a very, very long time. Admittedly, we're not saying the Houston Texans are going to be maintaining that greatness for a longer stretch as the Patriots did. But they're achieving good heights. That's the worrying thing here. They've been achieving good heights in previous years. They've had one poor year under Bill O'Brien, really. Well, of wins, losses wise. I wouldn't say play wise they have. For me, this team, when you have someone like Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, when you have your quarterback figured out, then you just need to improve everything else. Because Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback in the league, maybe top eight at this current given time, probably even outside of top 15 given this current time. But capability wise, I think no one should doubt Deshaun Watson. And that's what's probably a hard pill to swallow for Texans fans and the Texans organization is you're like, Bill, you're not winning games with Deshaun Watson? With JJ Watt? With three pretty all right receivers, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb. Let's have a look at this as well. Who they brought in this year? Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, David Johnson. They're the big names that I think. And out went DeAndre Hopkins, Carlos Hyde, and Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller injury ridden. Carlos Hyde was good last year. DJ Reader as well. I mean, that's very lopsided. Brandon Cooks, I thought, was a better move than people gave credit for. I think Brandon Cooks is a way better wide receiver than people give him credit for. People think he's injury prone. I've said it a lot of times. People think he's injury prone, concussions, etc., etc. He's not missed that many games. Randall Cobb is older. He's not really great. He's not good. But he seems to be having an okay time there. But he's predominantly in that slot position. Giving, well, when the pocket's closing on Deshaun Watson, like it is a lot, like we'll look at in a minute, he's giving a Deshaun Watson option to throw to. And David Johnson, who's a subpar runner. And then you lost the best wide receiver in the NFL, maybe. The moves have been strange. The moves have been really strange. I do think it is a little unfair to fire Bill O'Brien at this given point. If he'd gone into the bye week, week eight, and lost every game, gone. I'm sorry, you're going to have to go. But, you know, against these four teams, they are really good teams. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers and the Vikings. But you're meant to be progressing. You're meant to be going up in the world. Yes, the Chiefs and the Ravens are the best two teams in the NFL right now. I can take that. As a Texan fan, I would be willing to take that. But losing to the Steelers and losing to the Vikings, that's where I'm like, hang on a minute. We're meant to be keep competing and trying to beat them teams in that echelon, in that bracket. And we're not. We're simply not. We might become bottom of the division at this point. It is a massive uphill battle for the Texans at this point. Stats-wise, Deshaun Watson's having an all right year. 84 completions, 1,092 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 16 sacks, though. That's number one in sacks. He's overtaken Joe Burrow for the getting sacked the most times in the NFL. That I have a problem with. Coaching-wise, I'm like, we need to protect our quarterback. Why are we not doing enough? Yeah, we traded for Laramie Tunsil a few years ago. We gave up far too much for Laramie Tunsil, but I could get why you did it. We didn't go and get proper offensive line help in the draft. And we've not gone and got anyone else. There was plenty of free agents out there. We didn't go and get anyone else. The receiving core is doing okay. 18 receptions, 247 yards, 2 touchdowns for Will Fuller. Randall Cobb, 13 receptions, 213 yards, touchdown. Tight end Jordan Akins, 14 receptions, 160. I've just wrote a squiggle. It might say 168 or it might be 160 something yards and a touchdown for Jordan Akins. And Brandon Cooks, 10 receptions for 138 yards. It's a massive uphill battle. The defense has been awful. I mean, what? They've 34 points, 33 points, 28 points, 31 points. They've not conceded less than 25 points so far this year. They're not being able to hold teams. You can't, this is what has upset me a lot about Texans in recent years. You can't just hang your hook on JJ Watt. Oh, but we have JJ Watt. No. JJ Watt's prime has been and gone. He's not even the best Watt brother anymore. TJ Watt has overtaken him by a lot. You've got some good players there. McKinney, Takaris McKinley, Justin Reed. Some good players on that team. Some good players. Trayvon Mullen. There's some good players. But they're not doing the job. You can't be conceding that many points. Even if you are against top teams. They've now brought in Romeo Crennel. Coaching-wise, I have no idea who they're going to hire. I don't know the free agent coaches well enough to know who you can go and get. I don't think coaches are going to leave a team to go there. I know a lot of people are really liking the Bills offensive coordinator to get a head coach job at some point in the future. There's Lincoln Riley, a college coach, Urban Meyer, who's an ex-college coach. There's some people out there who they could bring in, but I don't know whether anyone's going to be attracted to this at the minute. Romeo Crennel's going to take in. He was the head coach at the Cleveland Browns and between 05 and 08 and at the Kansas City Chiefs in 2011-2012. He's 28-55 in his career. His best year came in 2007. Sorry, he went 10-6 with the Browns. However, his worst year was 2-14 in 2012 with the Kansas City Chiefs. So you know, it's not looking great for Romeo Crennel, probably. I cannot see them going 10-6. I could see him more going 2-14, though. And what's even worse is there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we had a real poor season, but we can go and get the top player from college next year. You know, you're probably going to get, what, the third pick? Yeah. They are currently ranked at having the second pick in the 2021 draft. They don't even own the pick. Miami Dolphins got given that pick in the Laramie Tunsil trade. So there's not even, like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel for being bad this year. Some of these teams out there who are bad this year, they're like, okay, yeah, because we're going to go get Trevor Lawrence, or we're going to have a top five pick, and we've still got a decent team. The Texans are going, oh, yeah, we can go get a top five pick. We've got a decent team. We can just get the best college player coming out of the draft. Oh, wait, no, we can't, because we've given away our first round picks, and we gave away our best wide receiver. There's not been a lot of enforcing. There's not been a lot of strengthening to this Texans team, and that's where I would be outright annoyed, pissed. I know we never swear on this podcast, but I'd be outright pissed as a Texans fan to be like, what is our future here? Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson and who? Who else do we have? What else do we have? Because it's not progressing forward. It's an upsetting start for the Houston Texans, and I do wish them all the best of luck. In my point of view, I thought they would start very poor and then rally towards the back end and get into the playoffs. That's not going to happen anymore. That is not going to happen. This team is not going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be probably a whole reset year next year. They're probably going to clear out a lot of players, new coach. It's going to be an interesting 2021 for Houston Texans. But 2020, I'm sorry, Houston Texans fans, you're going to have to write this one off. You're going to have to write this one off, I'm afraid. Bill O'Brien's not the only coach who has been on the hot seat. I think Dan Quinn at the 0-3 Falcons, Joe Judge at the 0-4 New York Giants, Adam Gase at the 0-4 New York Jets. They are all on the hot seat as well. They could be very close. The Falcons maybe have got two more weeks. They've said in Jets organization, they said they're keeping Adam Gase. God knows why at this point. I have no idea that they will probably not do that. Joe Judge, I admit, first year head coach. I can get it. Like, I can get him sticking around if he can slip one or two wins. A little bit like Zach Taylor last year with the Bengals, you know, finding his feet, everything like that. They haven't got Saquon Barkley for the rest of the year. I think Joe Judge may stick around, but he is going to be on the hot seat, unfortunately. But Dan Quinn and Adam Gase are definitely guys who may be getting moved on in the very, very near future. Right. That's enough about Houston Texans. We're going to look at the toughest divisions in the NFL right after this break. As NFL fans, we always argue, who's the best division? No, we've got the hardest division. No, we've got this QB in our division. No, we've got this wide receiver. Oh, no, we've got this running back. We're the toughest division. Well, after 4 weeks, it's very clear. It is very clear which divisions are the toughest in the NFL. And in fact, when you look at the two toughest divisions in the NFL, in the AFC and the NFC, there's actually one in the whole of the NFL. So let's have a look at them. So the NFC West is my toughest division in the NFC. Seattle Seahawks currently atop it at 4-0. Then the LA Rams at 3-1. The San Francisco 49ers at 2-2. And the Arizona Cardinals at 2-2 as well. All four of these teams have their strengths and have their weaknesses. The Seahawks, they have Russell Wilson. They have an incredible offense. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. They are very, very good offensively. They have not a great defense. Their defensive line is poor. Their backs aren't great. They've been winning games via offense. The LA Rams, good offense, capable. Got not really a great running game, but some all right running backs. Their defensive front, Aaron Donald, is incredible. They've got some great defensive backs in Jalen Ramsey. A capable team. I don't think people give them enough credit at the moment because they were poor last year. Sean McVay, a great head coach. The San Francisco 49ers are just so badly injury-ridden. So badly injury-ridden, and yet they're still 2-2. They've had injuries all over the park. Nick Bosa, most notably. Jimmy Garoppolo. Nick Mullins has been their quarterback. I mean, CJ Beathard came into the game at the weekend. It's a little bit of a mess there, but still they're eking out wins, and they're a good team. Arizona Cardinals, 2-2 as well, at the bottom of the division. The Cardinals and my team that I think might sneak into the playoffs. I am loving this Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins link up. Their running game has been shocking, though, this year. I've got Kenyon Drake in fantasy. He has been so poor. Their defense is really good. I don't think it's performing to the level it should be, though. Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, Isaiah Simmons. It's not performing to the level it should be. But these four teams, I mean, 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 2-2. This division stack, there's some great players. Look at the quarterbacks. I mean, obviously, Garoppolo injured, but let's put Jimmy Garoppolo in there. Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Kyler Murray. Wow, like four very, very good, capable quarterbacks. One elite quarterback, probably the... We've had this section 2 weeks ago now. Russell Wilson, the MVP candidate, if not the MVP of the season so far for me. They are strong teams. All four of these teams could beat any given team on any given day, I think, outside of the Chiefs. I think the Hawks are the only people who could go against the Chiefs. I think their defense would let them down tremendously. A very good division. Let's have a look at the AFC. The AFC North is the strongest one in the AFC for me. The Steelers top of the division at 3-0. Admittedly, not playing against the Titans does give them an advantage there at top of the division. The Browns at 3-1, the Ravens at 3-1, and the Bengals at 1-2-1. Again, all four teams are strong. Bengals, the weakest team in this division, the weakest team out of the NFC West and the AFC North, if wanting to bunch it all together. A very much a rebuild team. Joe Burrow, it is the quarterback for the future, though. He is the quarterback for the future. We can see it already. We can see already the strength of him and how he's going to develop this team. And this team is quite exciting, I think, going forward in the future. They've got some good players. They just need to strengthen that defense. They are a team that needs a lot more going on for them and a bit more experience of the coaching there. The Ravens, 3-1. Ravens, well, they're one coming against the Chiefs. They might not lose another game all year. It depends who they're playing. I can't remember off the top of my head. They had statistically the easiest schedule, didn't they, at the start of the year? So they could go unbeaten for the rest of the season, to be honest. And Lamar Jackson's incredible. The defense needs to click again. It's a bit like last year. They're a bit still off the mark, but they are still very, very, very good already. They're just not hitting the heights of which they could. Clarence Campbell, Derek Wolfe, two great pickups in the offseason. We then have the Cleveland Browns. Started very slow. We're not sure about them. As every analyst of the NFL has been saying, take the ball out of Baker's hands, give it to the run game. I think Baker is a good quarterback, but this Browns team runs through their run game. They've got some great players, like we know. OBJ, who had a monster game against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they dominated the Dallas Cowboys the weekend. What an exciting game that was to watch. And this defense is really good. Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward. They've got some great players on that defense as well. They could be a really strong team, you know, going from now on. I think they started a little slow, but I think they found their game plan. Kevin Stefanski, their head coach, a very clever guy, a very good head coach. He's found his rhythm with this team. They are going to be a formidable team for the rest of the year. And then there's my Pittsburgh Steelers, who defensive-wise are the number one defense in the NFL, in my opinion. Obviously, a little biased being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But they are such a good defense, number one defensive front, at least. Their secondary needs to get going again. Minkah Fitzpatrick's been far too quiet, in my opinion. The cornerbacks have been all right. Joe Hayden's been okay. Steve Nelson, Mike Hilton need a bit of improvement this year. But their offense, we're still not sure. I think the offense can be beaten is the only thing. I think Big Ben being back has been a massive coup for the Steelers. He's looking really good. Juju Smith-Schuster looks revitalized under a proper quarterback. Deontay Johnson's worried with his injury. Hopefully he won't be out too long. Given this week's rest, hopefully he'll be all right going forward. Our running game has just been awful, though. It's not been good. James Conner needs to find that next gear, and he's just not finding it. Benny Snell is providing a nice second running back. Anthony McFarland looked quite impressive. It's a good team. And I beating the Texans. I fought against the Texans. We came up against a strong quarterback and we still looked all right. I think if you go against a strong quarterback with an actually good team, we could lose. But we came up against a strong quarterback with a rubbish team. And we just got the win, really. I mean, we didn't look that impressive against the Denver Broncos either. So I'd like to see a lot more improvement in there. But three of these teams, I think on any given day, could beat a top team. Steelers, Browns, Ravens. I think the Bengals are just a beat away. If they can beat some more of the mid-range teams, your Miamis, your Denvers, Jets, Giants, your Washington football teams, your Colts, I know the Colts have been doing okay, but I still think they could lose on any given day. Even though their defense has been really good, I don't think their offense is clicking particularly great. They could easily beat some of their mid-range tier Lions, the Vikings. They could definitely beat the Bengals. Could definitely will have a better record than they did last year, and that shows improvement. And that's all you need as a Bengal fan, is improvement. When we look at these two divisions, though, I think that's the strongest division in the NFC. And that's the strongest division in the AFC. But for me, the strongest division, the toughest division in the NFL at the minute is the NFC West. It's got to be. I mean, the Bengals, the NFC North lose out because of the Bengals. Because they're in a development and they're a building team. And they're not quite sure of their identity just yet. And they're working and they're building. Whereas the Cardinals are in the same fourth spot in the NFC West, even though they're at 2-2 and the Bengals are at 1-2-1. They know their identity. They just need a bit of improvement. But they know their identity. Running for Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is going to run the ball. He's accurate. He's going to get them scrapping first downs with his feet. He's the 21st century quarterback. I mean, it's weird that the Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals stand their quarterbacks. They're not incredibly mobile, not incredibly athletic. And then we have the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, who's probably the most athletic quarterback in the league. And then the NFC, you have two quarterbacks who aren't very athletic and don't run around, in Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo, however, are capable of doing so. And then you have Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, who are incredibly mobile, incredibly athletic, and really influence this team. And there is a massive influence that Russell Wilson is going to have on the future of this team. Kyler Murray. There's a massive influence that Kyler Murray is going to have on this team in the future. And they're just, this division is just so stacked. Russell Wilson is incredible MVP for this year so far. The Seattle Seahawks team, I think there are going to be games they're going to lose because they have quite a few holes and they're going to be beaten at some point. But there we go. That is my toughest division in the NFL. We have got, though, after Andrew's fantasy football section, we have, what do you reckon, Fred? My favourite section of the week. But Andrew Manning does return. He returns with his fantasy football section. Love Andrew doing this. A very, very good friend of mine. Such a knowledgeable guy within the NFL fantasy. He really knows his stuff. This guy here got his second win on the bounce in his main league, in the league that I am in with Andrew. The comeback is on for Freddie here. The back and legs have got a comeback coming on. Maybe, I don't know, some of these teams are pretty good in my fantasy league. But, you know, if you ever want to get in contact with Andrew and ask him anything about fantasy football, you feel free to DM us on our social medias or even email us at our Gmail account as well. If you want to get in contact with Andrew about anything fantasy football wise, waiver wire pickups, sit-em, start-ems, even though he does do his section, we are more than happy to help. So, Andrew, take it away with our fantasy football section.
Hi guys, and welcome to the fantasy section of the Franchise Tag Pod with me, your host and fantasy guru, Andrew. It's been another week of fantasy injuries, losing a number of key running backs, wide receivers, and there's not a lot left on the waiver wire. So here's my hints and tips and selections to try and help you get the best out of your weeks if you've got some of those injured players. So first of all, let's go through a couple of running back options, as we did lose 2 to 3 big names out of the running back game. So let's see what we've got left on the waiver wire. First up, I think he's available in a lot of leagues, is Chase Edmonds, the running back for the Arizona Cardinals. With the addition to D-Hop into this offense, the Arizona Cardinals offense looked a lot different to Kyler Murray scrambling around like we're used to seeing. It's looking a lot more structured and the passing game has developed a lot more. And with that threat that Kyler Murray has as a runner, I think this leads for Chase Edmonds to be a great option out of the backfield as a pass catcher. And I think we'll start to see the Cardinals using a bit more in the game as an option, moving away from that typical dominant run game that they used to, and he'll be in there a lot more, and I think is a good option to take as a backup running back for your team. Okay, next up at the running back spot is Joshua Kelly, the running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a bit of a no-brainer if he's available on the waivers in your league, as we had the loss to Austin Eckler. And Joshua Kelly has already looked impressive sharing the ball with Austin Ekeler. So he's only going to see more carries, more catches, and be utilized more and more and more. So if he is available in any leagues, definitely pick him up. He's going to be real strong for you. And he's definitely going to be a good addition to that offense of the Chargers. So definitely pick him up. If it was a wide receiver you lost, or you had a running back in your flex and now you're going to look for another strong wide receiver to put in that position, here's some wide receiver options for you. It's no surprise what I'm going to say here. It's a rookie. T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals. For some reason, this guy is still available on the waiver wire. I'm not sure why, because he's a fantastic talent and he's really slotted into that team really, really well. He's got a good relationship with Joe Burrow straight off the bat. And I think he's just going to see more targets and progress and become more confident as an NFL player. So if T. Higgins is available on your waiver wire, pick him up. He will be strong for you going forward. Okay, my next one is Tim Patrick, the wide receiver from the Denver Broncos. Denver on their third quarterback already for this year is looking quite good. And Rippon's favorite target so far has been Tim Patrick. He hauled in 100 plus yards and a touchdown. His second consecutive game with a touchdown. Looks to be Rippon's favorite target. And I think if they can develop a relationship, they could be a really, really good duo together. And could see lots of fantasy points going their way if he is targeting in PPR leagues and things like that. So Tim Patrick's worth picking up and seeing how well he does. And he could be really strengthen your team. The next one is a quarterback. This week we see the first week of the traditional bye weeks. So you might have lost your starting quarterback this week. And looking at the waiver wire, Justin Herbert is available on most people's waiver wires. He's looking a real, real strong quarterback. As Freddie said in previous podcast episodes, he feels like Justin Herbert could be the offensive rookie of the year. And it's hard not to agree with him being in the running of it. Looks really talented, looks to throw the ball, has a real strong arm, and he looks like he's just going to add to fantasy value with the amount of yardage he can gain per game with touchdowns from anywhere on the field. So if Justin Herbert's available and you're short of a quarterback this week, definitely pick up Justin Herbert. Okay, my next one's a bit of an odd one. He is on bye week this week, but if you fancy a little sneaky thing, if you've got an injured running back, then this could be the way forward. My next option is Robert Tonyan, tight end of the Green Bay Packers. Stats-wise and ability and stature, he's looking like another version of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, that type of tight end, a receiving tight end rather than a blocking tight end. And Aaron Rodgers is loving him as a target, and a lot of the balls are going his way on the offense. A very beaten up offense with not many big names staying fit. He seems to be the reliable target, and if you've already got a strong tight end, he could probably fill in, and you could probably trade away a big name tight end for some running back options. It's definitely an option for you to look at, and I think he could be strong for your team and maybe get some good value out of him if you pick him up and want to trade him away as well. It's just another sneaky fantasy way of strengthening your team, looking at the waiver wires, and potentially, you know, looking forward to trading for a running back, which we all need at the moment. Okay, that's your waiver wires. Now let's move on to sit them, start them. My start for this week is Deshaun Watson going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans have started the season off pretty poor with an 0-4 record so far, and they're going up against divisional rivals Jacksonville Jaguars and will not want to lose this game. I think Deshaun Watson will do everything in his power to make sure this is a W in the win column for them this week. And we're going to see a really big performance, him take the team on his shoulders like we've seen in previous years and drive them home and win this game big. So he's a definite start for me this week. My sitter quarterback this week is Derek Carr going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, another divisional rival game. But Derek Carr's offensive weapons are depleting due to injury, And he's going up against probably the strongest NFL team in the game at the moment. There's a lot of rivalry in this league. And I think Derek Carr's really going to struggle. And the Chiefs are really going to shut him down. And it's definitely a sit for me this week, despite having an impressive start to the season. Okay, on to your running backs. My start for this week is Todd Gurley, the running back for the Atlanta Falcons. I've said in previous episodes that Matt Ryan's really taken this team on his shoulders and he's been gunning the ball around across all those like plethora of wide receivers they've got. But last week, although they lost to the Green Bay Packers, Todd Gurley looked like the Todd Gurley that we saw at the LA Rams, driving home plays in the red zone, into the end zone, and getting points on the board. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I think we're going to see him step up his game and really, really play well against the Carolina Panthers. It's a divisional rivalry game again. The Falcons are 0-4, and I think this is the game they win and they get a final win on the board as well. I think Todd Gurley is going to be a big factor to that. Okay, my next running back sit is a bit of an odd one because I'm not sure what name to put in the column. So it is any running back from the New England Patriots. Not knowing who's going to start, who's going to get the most carries, what the quarterback situation is going to be. I think it's really, really tough to put any of the running backs from the New England Patriots in this week. I think it's definitely going to be whoever starts the game the best will get the most carries, and that's not a reliable option for you going forward in fantasy. So if you've got any of the New England Patriots running backs, I'd sit them this week against a really strong Denver Broncos defense. So yeah, any of those backs, sit this week. Okay, moving on to the wide receiver position. My start for this week is Amari Cooper. Bit of a theme this week with my sit 'em start 'ems. We're getting into the grit of it. Yet again, it's a big divisional rivalry game. And Amari Cooper's going up against the New York Giants. This is a must-win game for Dak Prescott. And he's going to want to go to his number one wide receiver a lot of times and rely on him to get him through this victory. Because if he doesn't win this game, people are going to be asking questions. So I expect Amari Cooper to have a big game against the struggling New York Giants. My sit at the wide receiver position this week is Tevin McLaurin. The Washington football team aren't sure who they're even going to start this week at quarterback. It could be the second string. It could be the third string. I think Kyle Allen is the name that they're saying is going to be the starter. So it looks like it's not looking good for Dwayne Haskins, who had a good relationship with Tevin McLaurin. But I don't know where Kyle Allen and Tevin McLaurin fit as a partnership. I'm not sure what they've got together. And they've got a very tough game against the LA Rams, which have looked very impressive already this year. So I'd sit Tevin McLaurin this week, not knowing what they're going to get out of their quarterback. Onto the tight end position. My start for this week is Hunter Henry. As I previously said at the start of the show, on my waiver wire targets, Justin Herbert is looking incredible. And I think going up against the New Orleans Saints, he's going to want to throw the ball, as I've said, and I think Hunter Henry is going to be a reliable big target, check down option as well. So I think he's going to see a lot of receptions, a lot of targets going his way. So Hunter Henry is definitely a start for me. My sit for this week is Austin Hooper, tight end for the Cleveland Browns. They're going up against the number one defense, the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're going to go behind early in this game and need deep throws and big targets and big games from Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. And I don't see the tight ends being a factor against this Colts defense that can shut down anyone. And they've been really, really good in that middle of the field. So Austin Hooper, I think he's going to have a quiet game. So he's definitely the sit for me this week. Okay, onto my bonus sleeper for the week. It's Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver from the San Francisco 49ers. Yet again, I'm saying another rookie. These wide receiver rookies this season have been absolutely incredible. There's probably about five or six of them that have been really, really impressive. And Brandon Ayuk is possibly in line for being one of the number one out of college this year. And his fantasy stats prove that. He's pulling in 10 plus points every week. He scored an incredible touchdown last week. It was really, really impressive. If you haven't seen it, Google it. top player, and I think he could be a potentially, with the lack of Deebo Samuel through the start of the year, he could be their number one receiver for the year. So he's definitely my sleeper for this week, and going forward, watch out what he can do. As always, guys, if you've got any questions, any 50-50s, any sit 'em, start 'ems personally for your team, please, please, please get in touch with me or Freddie. We'll help you out. We'll sort your team out. We'll get you another victory. We'll help you get to that championship game. But for now, that's it from me. Good luck in your matchups. Really hope I've helped and get you that victory. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate that. Some great fantasy football knowledge just there. But it's that time again. What do you reckon, Fred? What do you reckon, Fred? This is my favourite part of the Franchise Tag Podcast. I love doing this segment. If you want to get in contact with us, you can DM us on our social media, the Franchise Tag Podcast, on Instagram and Facebook. Franchise Tag UK is the handle on Twitter. You can also email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. So what do you reckon, Fred? Here we go. And we've got another one here. So here we go. We reckon, Fred, Chicago Bears. Is Nick Foles the answer for Chicago? And was Mitch Trubisky given a chance being taken out after a 2-0 start to the season? Also, can the Bears qualify for the playoffs? What you reckon, Fred? Well, that's a very, very interesting question. Chicago Bears, it's a little bit, being a bit up in the air. I mean, we all thought they wouldn't start very well. And weirdly, they've been good. Well, not good, but they've been winning games. I mean, 3-1 at the moment. They beat the Lions, they beat the Giants, they beat the Falcons, and they lost to the Indianapolis Colts last weekend. In the game against the Falcons, Mitch Trubisky, who was named their starting quarterback, he got pulled. He threw an interception, and they put in Nick Foles in, who they traded for earlier in the season from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the offseason. Obviously, there's been a little bit of controversy about maybe there is a quarterback battle, but Mitch Trubisky was named the starter. And let's talk about the Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky thing first, and then we'll talk about the qualifying. So Nick Foles replaces Trubisky in the third quarter of the Falcons game after a thrown interception. The Bears at that point were down 26-10. Nick Foles makes the comeback, gets 20 points in the fourth quarter and wins the game to beat the Falcons 30-26. In that game, Trubisky had 13 for 22, 128 yards, a touchdown and interception. Nick Foles was 16 for 29, 188 yards, three touchdowns and an interception as well. I mean, he had an interception on his first play, which may have signaled that it might not have been the right move. But now they've decided to go in the direction of Nick Foles. So they started him. He was the starter last week against the Indianapolis Colts. They lost 19-11. They are now 3-1, which is second in the NFC North behind the Green Bay Packers, who are unbeaten at the moment. I mean, for me, Nick Foles, you've got to look at this. You've got a big picture of this. At 31 years old, is he really the future? If you look at Trubisky, you know, 26, he was the second pick in the first round of the 2017 draft. The Bears actually traded up to get him. He has 862 completions, 9,114 yards, 54 touchdowns, and 32 interceptions on his career. During his tenure with the Bears, his first year they went 5-11. Next year they went 12-4 and they lost in the wild card game to the Eagles 16-15. They then went 8-8 last year and didn't look great. I think they pulled him too quickly. I think the narrative about Mitch Trubisky has been very poor for a very long time. Yes, Mitch Trubisky is not a world beater of a quarterback. No, he is the worst quarterback in his division. You know, and you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins in your division. I could argue that maybe him and Kirk Cousins could battle out for the poorest, but I think he is probably the poorest quarterback in his division. But he's not a bad guy. I mean, I know a lot of people who are very negative about Mitch Trubisky. I'm not. I'm a positive person about it. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good leader. I think the team quite like him. I just think it's been a bit ropey in Chicago. You know, they've got Matt Nagy. They had John Fox when he first started there. Then they brought in Matt Nagy. And it's just been a bit of a turbulent time. I honestly thought, we talked about it last year, at the start of last year in 2019 season, I thought the Bears could make a legit run for the Super Bowl. I had them in my predictions going to the NFC Championship. But they went 8-8. But if you looked at 2018, they were 12-4. I mean, that's positive, right? That's really good. Look at this defense. It's incredible. It's It's just not happening enough on offense. But I don't think you should be all out on him. Yeah, at 26, maybe he's not the future. Maybe it is time to move on. But I don't think them putting in a 31-year-old quarterback is that who's not mobile and has never been a true starter is the solution. That's not the answer to success in Chicago. If you look at Foles, you know, 31, he's the third round draft pick by the Philadelphia Eagles in 2012. Obviously, we all know the story. We all know the story of the Super Bowl. Obviously, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP. On his career, he's got 1,093 completions, 12,338 yards, 75 touchdowns, and 37 interceptions. I mean, Trubisky at 32 and has not played, has played half the games Nick Foles has played. It's a little bit dangerous there with the amount of interceptions that he's doing, but he's getting some good touchdowns. But Foles can't be the answer. He's not the guy moving forward. I thought, is he the future? No, he's too old. He's not an A-grade quarterback. He is the worst quarterback in the division. He's not mobile. You have to be mobile in this league now. That is what's going to happen. If you're going to now bench Mitch Trubisky, Mitch Trubisky isn't going to be your starter going forward, then you're going to have to go and look at the draft. You're going to have to look at the 2020 draft. You could look at, you know, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, all three quarterbacks who have been touted to be immediate starters, or at least successful within the NFL. So that's where I would look. I wouldn't, and maybe also free agents. I mean, Dak Prescott still not had a contract tied up yet. We don't know what's going to go on with him. We can imagine he's going to stay at the Dallas Cowboys. We can all imagine if he's going to stay there. But Dak Prescott would be an upgrade from Mitch Trubisky, surely, if you wanted to look at the offseason and look at maybe some free agents. Or you could even trade. I always thought it was a very, very strange trade in the offseason going for Nick Foles. Why would you? I don't understand why they would do that. I don't get it personally. I get why you need a good backup. Yes, I understand that. But they traded quite a bit as well. I can't remember what they traded for him, but you know they inherited quite a large contract as well. I know Jacksonville are paying off some of that as well. But if you're going to bench Trubisky, then Foles isn't your answer going forward. We fall in love with Foles as an NFL community and as NFL fans as much as everyone does. I do as well. Because of the story that he has, you know, replacing Carson Wentz when Carson Wentz got injured, winning, won the Super Bowl, beat Bill Belichick, Philly special, you know, all that. Yeah, it's an incredible story. But Nick Foles is not then the answer going forward. I think Mitch Trubisky's not been given enough time this season. I mean, he was 3-0. Yeah, all right. The narrative for this is that Foles has come in and he won that game against the Falcons from behind. So Foles has some backing at this moment. But if Foles had come into that game and lost the game, the narrative would be completely different. He wouldn't have started against the Colts. Now, I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky would have beat the Colts. I'm just saying the narrative then completely changes. I mean, when you look at their results as well, 27-23, only just beating the Lions, beat the Giants 17-13, just beat them, and Giants were well in that game for a lot of the game. The Falcons game, obviously, they win 30-26 and they lose to the Colts 19-11. I mean, that's a close score as well against the Colts, against that Colts defense especially. But they've only, all right, take away the 30 points they put on the Falcons. They put 20 points up in a quarter. It was magical. There's been a lot of times this year already when teams have done comebacks. I mean, that's Dallas Cowboys. I mean, them guys have been coming back every week, it feels like, apart from against the Browns. They've not looked fantastic, this team. There is a lot of problems on this offense. I think the defense is very stacked, but it's not delivering as much as it should be at the moment. But if you want a solution to improving this offense, it's not Nick Foles. It is not Nick Foles. And as for, well, there's my stance on the Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky ordeal. As for if they can make the playoffs. Now, this is obviously a little bit up in the air because, you know, what about the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions? What are their records going to be? But when you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, they've had the easiest time in their schedule so far. You know, the Lions, the Giants, the Falcons, the Colts, that's been an easy time. They now this weekend come in, they host Tampa Bay. They're then at Carolina Panthers, then at the LA Rams, then they host the New Orleans Saints. They're then at the Tennessee Titans. They then host the Minnesota Vikings. There's a bye week there in week 11. Then they're at Green Bay. They host the Detroit Lions. They host the Houston Texans. They're at the Minnesota Vikings. Then they go to Jacksonville against Jacksonville Jaguars. And then they host the last game against Green Bay. Now, let's say that the Lions and the Vikings are out of the race, but at this point, maybe. When I look at that schedule, the best I think they can do is 7-9. I think they can beat the Vikings at home in week 10. I think they can beat the Lions at home in week 13. I think they can beat the Texans at home in week 14. I think they can beat the Jags away in week 16. But I think there is a lot of games up in the air here, but they're playing some tough teams. Who they are not going to beat? Tampa, the Rams, the Saints, the Titans, the Vikings, if they get their act together, which they seem like they are doing now. Green Bay, they're all good teams. I think they might run away with some points maybe against Carolina. They could maybe beat them. They could maybe beat the Vikings twice, or the Vikings can beat them twice. I think that one's still a little bit up in the air. I'm not overly convinced they could beat Jacksonville in week 16. We'd have to see what Jacksonville looks like by that point, because Jacksonville aren't going down without a fight. They're still fighting back. So I think they go 7-9. I think 7-9 record, we had it last week. We talked about if anyone could go into the playoffs in the NFC with a losing record. I think when you look around the rest of the divisions, that's not going to happen. 7-9, they're not going to make the playoffs. Not when you've got Seattle, LA, San Francisco 49ers still in the fight, Arizona Cardinals still in the fight, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of, Tampa Bay, New Orleans Saints. There's a lot of people still in the fight, and I think the Chicago team is not going to be able to clinch the playoffs, unfortunately. However, that is the end of this week. Thank you for listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast. I really appreciate it. You can find this podcast on iTunes Podcasts, where please could you leave a rating and a review? They all matter to us. And we are also on Spotify as well. You can follow us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, the Franchise Tag Podcast, and on Twitter with a Franchise Tag UK handle. If you want to DM us on there, you're more than welcome to, or you can email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. Also, if you don't have the platforms like iTunes Podcasts or Spotify, etc., and you want to find out maybe a bit more about the podcast, all our episodes, information, back catalogue is all at our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. That's another week, guys. That's another week of the Franchise Tag Podcast. We've got week 5 coming, guys. Week 5 already, guys. Week 5 already. We're a third through the season, pretty much. Pretty much a third through the season, nearly around about that anyway. God, it's so exciting. And it's so much more football to come. So exciting. And thank God for the NFL being around, as we'd be all a little bit more miserable in these current times than we already are. But don't worry, guys. NFL is back next week. We're going to be back next week. Have a good week. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. Socially distance with your friends, but get the snacks and get the beers in, because the NFL is going to be on all weekend, baby, and we cannot wait. Have a good week, and see you soon.